come to pass, what manner of person should you be in your conversation, in your godliness? He asked that question. What kind of person should you be in your conversation and in your godliness? You know, we should, everything that we do should be of God, it should be godly, and it should be of the Word of God. Nothing more and nothing less. So, saints of God, 2 Peter 3:1-10, it says, it brings us back to our question. The question that I ask in the first part of this lesson. And it says, the question that I ask is, are you qualified? Are you qualified to do the works of God? Are you qualified to do the work that Jesus did? Saints of God, think about this. Do you even think about the works that Jesus did? Do you even think about them, saints? You know, the authority and the power and the abilities, you know, that he has given to us, you know, so that we can do the works that he called us to do. And we could do battle against the enemy, because that's who we're fighting. We're fighting the enemy. We're fighting the devil, you know. You know, we're fighting sicknesses and diseases and the storms, both natural and spiritual storms. You know, praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, we're fighting all these things. And guess what? We're going to win because we're doing it in the name of the Lord. You know, he has equipped us, his church, to where we, you know, we're perfect, we're entire, and we want for nothing. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. We're perfect, we're entire, and we're wanting nothing. This is what God has done for us, saints. And we're going to have to realize that. We don't want to be, we don't want to forget that we need to pray. Get on our knees before the Lord and ask him to help us to get into that place of supernatural ability and power where we can make Satan flee, you know, in terror from us. Not us flee in terror from him. Praise God. Glory to God. We want to make him flee from us. You know, God has given us this great power. And we need to start praying now and ask God. Lord, praise God. We need to ask God, Lord, help us. Help us to get to that place. That place where we can utilize that power that you have given us. Let us do it, saints.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree,
we died to save man, the teacher.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. Gospel 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 1. This is a word for the body of Christ. This is a word that I've been given to share with the church today. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4, 5, and 10. And this is a word about assignments. Every one of us, each and every one of us, God has given to us an assignment. And it is to fulfill the purpose of our lives. And so many people miss it and miss the true joy of life and knowing your purpose of being here. And I just want to take from Scripture some points, and I want us to ponder them this morning so that we would have an understanding about assignments and then what it is that God will have us to do. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Verse 10 says, "See, I have this day set thee over nations and over kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. A word about assignments. Now, there are so many things in these 10 verses that would be helpful for us to understand. The first thing I want you to note is verse 4 and 5 shares with us that Jeremiah, like as we, was pre-qualified for his assignment. Somebody say pre-qualified. Now, why is this so important? Well, one thing it helps you to understand is, one, that God doesn't make mistakes. Amen. Two, that you are not a mistake. That God purposed and planned you regardless of how mom and dad got together, you were on God's mind. Amen. Even before you ever existed, God had you on his mind. What a joy it is in knowing that you're not an afterthought. God put some thought into you. Now listen to this. He pre-qualifies him because he tells him, Jeremiah says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth, I sanctified thee, set thee aside, and I ordained thee." Now listen to that, what Jeremiah is saying, God is saying. He's literally saying to Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, before you ever existed, I qualified you for your assignment." Yeah. Now, when people hear this, they've got to understand that the assignment is always great when God put pre-qualifiers on your assignment. Because listen, when God gives you something great to do, he helps you to know that greatness is in you. Greatness is in you. And so point one is he pre-qualifies you for your assignment. Now, here's the second point I want you to understand. That you are always given a person or people as an assignment. Amen. A person or people as an assignment. You're never given to everybody. You're given to somebody, but you're not given to everybody. Verse 1 through 3 proves this. Again, because here is God listing the people, the nations, that he's talking to Jeremiah about. And so one of the things, when you begin to understand that, it will help you to understand that your ministry, your assignment, is not to everybody. It took me many years in ministry to figure out that my ministry wasn't to everybody. I thought every time people called me and wanted me to come preach here, come preach there, go here, go do that, that that was God calling me to do that. I've discovered not so. You see, when you don't know better, it's hard for you to do better. But since I know the Word now and I understand how the Spirit of God works, I do realize that the enemy will do many things to move you out of your position so that you cannot fulfill your assignment or purpose. Don't mean that you're not doing a good work, you're just not doing the great work that he called you for. See, sometimes the enemy will cause you to be caught up in busy work. That's not the best work. When God has set you aside for the best work. And so while you're doing good, you have the mindset, well, I'm doing good, I'm helping folk, but are they the folk he assigned you to help? And so you got to understand that God has not assigned you to everybody. He's assigned you to somebody. If your name is Moses, he assigned you to the Israelites. But if your name is Aaron or Hur, he assigned you to Moses. If your name is Jonah, he assigned you to Nineveh. Is your name the witnesses in the house? I'm just trying to tell you, he has not assigned you to the whole world. One of the reasons you'll know this is because he's not giving you resources to deal with the whole world. How many times have you wanted to help folk you couldn't help? You desired with everything in you to help those folk, but you didn't have the wherewithal to do so because they were not your assignment. Second thing is, or third thing I need to tell you is, that your assignment is always to a special place or places. Again, 1-3 shows you that as well. God makes this clear to Jeremiah, the various places. These are heathen nations around Jerusalem and Judah also that he's dealing with. God wants him to know the places to whom he has committed his assignment so that he doesn't go off in left field. God wants you to know you have a place for your assignment. Your assignment is not everywhere. Even Jesus didn't do good everywhere. Matter of fact, they said, could anything good come out of Nazareth? He moved to Capernaum and blew up. Wonderful ministry. There are times in your life you will discover that you're never ever successful until you get in your right place. You've got so many wonderful gifts and so many wonderful things on the inside of you, and you're wondering why people don't appreciate you, and you're wondering why people just tolerate you and don't give you the props that you deserve, don't give you the credit you deserve, don't give you the opportunity to serve. It could very well be you're in the wrong place. And you're trying to get in a place that God has not ordained you to be in. It's only when you are functioning in the place that God has for you to function in that you're going to find success. Listen, there are three things that happen when you find your place. First thing is purpose. You find purpose in your place. Second of all, you find promotion in your place. And thirdly, you find prosperity in your place. Listen, if a worker, a laborer is worthy of his hire, he gets his pay where he's hired. You don't work here and get paid there. You get your pay where you work at. You get your promotion where you work at. And the prosperity, listen, you ain't got to run seeking down money. Money is where your place is. Every time I'm in my place, I get money. Every time I'm out of place, I spend money. When you are in your place doing what God has called you to do, he knows how to promote you and to prosper you. Listen, you are not significant to everybody, but you are significant to those to whom God has assigned to you, and you to them.
And you got to understand that. Listen, everybody can't do what God has assigned you to do. You need to know that for this season, for this hour, God has given you that assignment. He has placed in you by pre-qualifying you for that work so that you can do what he has put you in that place to do that nobody else. When I am in my place doing what God has called me to do, I have no rivals. No rivals. I have no problem. When I'm in my place doing what I'm supposed to do, I don't care what's going on around the corner, around down the street, around the world, all the rest of that. I thank God for it because we are co-laborers. I'm not in competition with T.D. Jakes. I'm not in competition with Joel Osteen. I'm not in competition with the brothers around the city. My place is Greater King David to minister where God has called me to minister. And when I do what I'm supposed to do here, God's blessings are here for me. And when he allows me through media ministries and very evangelistic opportunities here and there to expand those areas, then I do those things. But it is when God's assignment calls for it. And so when I am where I am and when you are where you are that God has assigned you to be, that place is the place where you will be the most profitable. Believe you me, there are just some things that God has placed in you. You are so unique that nobody can do it like you. You make it seem like child's play. It's so easy to you. And it's not so easy to you. It's just that God done pre-qualified you and wired you and pre-programmed you to do the stuff you do naturally. And many times other folk recognized it before you even recognized it and knew it was in you because it flowed out you like living water. And so the place of your assignment is specific. But then the fourth thing I want to tell you about your assignment is that your assignment has a specific instruction and or purpose. And a specific instruction or purpose. Now, why is this so important to understand? Because when you look at verse 10 of Jeremiah chapter 1, you'll see he said, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, pull down. Now let's pause right there, because this metaphor here is to taking down the Lord's tree that has a deep root system. One of the things that you need to understand is about a large tree is just as high as that tree goes up, its root system goes down depending on the tree, the kind of the tree. And so God begins here at the foundation, at the root system, because it is the root system that keeps a tree strong during the storm. When the winds blow and it blows the tree to and fro and backwards and forwards, it's the root system underneath the ground that keeps that tree above ground stable and rooted in its place. But when you cut the root system off of that tree, you do two things. You kill the roots, thus killing the fruit. And when you kill the roots, the fruit of the tree dies, dies. And so he's saying, listen, he's talking about these kingdoms around Judah and Jerusalem that have done harm to the people of God, that God himself is setting up to avenge his people. And he's telling them how to take them out. Root them out? Why root them out? Because you don't want it to grow again. How many of you know if you just cut the tree down at the base, the very root system will cause the tree to continue to grow over time?
You think you've done a big thing and you come back years later and a tree has grown in its place because the root system was allowed to live. So he's telling them to cut the enemies down at the root so that you cut them out, so that those that you see today, you will see again no more. And then listen, when you cut the root system down, here's what a lot of enemies don't know. They're cut and don't even know they're hurt.
Yes, sir.
And then when you string them up and get to pulling it down, they think they're going to hold up and they're going to hold against and fight against you pulling them down. But they start losing their grip and start losing their hold because there's nothing underneath the ground as a foundation or root system to keep them stable. And the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So that metaphor had to do with trees. The second one, he says, destroy and throw down. This had to do with buildings now. Again, attacking at the foundation at the beginning, starting where you are at the bottom as the enemy coming in to destroy. You don't have the blessed privilege of starting at the top, so you start at the bottom. And so he tells them, start where the foundation is and begin to eradicate that. And then when you gain control, listen, he's telling them to go up to the king, because at the top of the kingdom is the king. And then you throw him down, suggesting you are taking him by authority out of power. The kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. If the kingdom suffereth violence and the violent taketh by force, then that means the king is thrown down. He ain't stepped down.
Amen. Amen.
Because the new powers that be take authority over all of that. And so now, again, he's talking about the enemies of Israel. He's talking about, I want you to take those down in those larger kingdoms that have built themselves up and have prided themselves on being large, dominant enemies to Israel and to Judah. And so here he's likening them to great nations and kingdoms. And now that they are dealt with, he moves them on to build and planning. Now, why is that necessary? Well, because now you've eradicated those enemies and those who would stop you from establishing yourself and establishing what God would have you do and be. And so now to build the temple and to build what God has said and given to Israel to do is now applicable to do. They can do it now that the enemy is out of the way. Plant, well, this means to be able to have the people now settle themselves again in their own land, in the land God promised them, in the land that God meant for them, causing them to come back from all of the various lands they were a part of to their own homeland. And so when you look at this message, my brothers and sisters, how profound it is. Somebody had to be in the mind of God to do such a great work. Now, I do need to tell you, just so that you'll understand, in verse 6, Jeremiah petitioned God's work. Then I said, oh, Lord, God, I'm just a child. Verse 7 says, 8 and 9, don't say I'm just a child. He says, I tell you what, you're going to go where I tell you to go, and you're going to say what I tell you to say. Verse 8 says, and don't be afraid of their faces. I know what you're looking at. It's hard to look at, but don't be afraid of them. Listen, because God tells him again that he's going to be with him. And can I tell you, if God is with you,
Who can be against you? I know they look like they can be against you, but they really can't prevail against you. And so you need to know, no matter how the enemy looks at you, rolls his or her eyes, how they ball their lips up, how they steam and do all of the rest of that stuff. Listen, God says you're stronger than they are because I'm with you. Then in verse 9, he tells him, he touches him, puts his word in his mouth so that Jeremiah will say what thus saith the Lord. And every time Jeremiah opens up his mouth, he sounds like God Jr. Because it's the word of God, so rich, so pure, so powerful, that when he speaks, there is a conviction underneath the skin, because they know that word is coming from the Lord. Let me tell you something. You can't fool the people of God. They know when a word comes from the Lord. Listen, there are some things they've done that they don't think nobody knows about but God. And God might have been the only one in the room when they thought they were by themselves, and God heard them, and God saw them, and God knew them, and God spoke to them, but he didn't call their name. And they know God was talking to them, and they're saying, thank you, Jesus, for not calling my name this morning and passed a message, because I know he was talking about me. They knew it was God when God gave an instruction, when God called, when God had mentioned to them about doing a certain thing, because he had already spoken to them in that spirit about that reality. And they try to shove it off like that wasn't God speaking until God confirms it. They know when God is speaking because God speaks so deep. And God speaks so pure that it moves everything underneath the skin. Your only option is to obey or disobey. But you know it's God. Three things I want to tell you, and then I'm leaving. First thing you need to know as it relates to your assignment is, one, you don't, in your own mind, decide your assignment. You discover it. Amen. You don't decide your assignment. You discover it. You see, my brothers and sisters, what's so important is to understand that though you'd like to be in this ministry, in that ministry, do this work, do that work, God has preordained you, pre-sanctified you, pre-qualified you for the work that you are best at doing. Anything else you do is substandard for which God has created you. Now, I'm not saying doing other things wouldn't be a good work. It just wouldn't be the great work he's called you to do. You know, it's important to understand that you don't have the ability, the choice, to decide what you want to do. You discover it. And you discover it, one, by seeking God and knowing that what he has already pre-qualified you for, pre-programmed you for, is what happens more naturally in you than anything else. It's what you flow in. It's what you're good at. It's what comes easy to you. It's what you know that you are meant to do. And so know that you don't decide your assignment. You discover it. That's what Jeremiah found out in verse 4 and 5. I want to share also in verse 6 that he discovered that you don't always desire your assignment. Can I get a witness from somebody who knows what I'm talking about? Listen, God is not concerned about you desiring your assignment. He has pre-qualified you, and that's what matters. He has seen everything else in this world for you to do and says, you best fit here. Best fit here. And so therefore, you don't have to desire.